Hey, podcast listeners. The Journal is excited to announce a brand new podcast series launching Friday, May 19th, called The Future of Everything. On the show, we'll explore how science and technology are revolutionizing everything from business and industry to culture and society. The Future of Everything podcast is sponsored by Slack. Companies all over the world depend on Slack every day to get everything done. Slack, where work happens. We look forward to you joining us as we embark on this exciting new series. So be sure to subscribe now by visiting wsj.com/podcasts or visit the Future of Everything page on your podcast app.
Jobs, manufacturing, and inflation highlight a holiday-shortened week.
Award-winning reporters, original insights. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal.
I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Wall Street is closed on Memorial Day, but tomorrow marks the start of a busy week for economic data. The most closely watched report is the May jobs data due out on Friday. Let's talk about that and other reports and other events with Wall Street Journal reporter Jeff Sparshot, who joins us from Washington. First, Jeff, after a weak job growth reading in March, April saw a bounce back with 211,000 new non-farm jobs. Can we expect something similar for May?
I think what economists expect is something right along the average of what we've had for the past few months, which is 185,000 jobs, an unemployment rate holding steady at about 4.4%, and more moderate wage growth. If we see year over year in the 2-2.5 range, I don't think that would surprise anyone. And what that points to is a steady and fairly healthy labor market for most people.
I saw one prediction for average hourly earnings to dip lower.
We could get some month-to-month fluctuations. Yeah. I mean, there can be some really fluky things in the data. I think the broad consensus is for another slight uptick, which is over the last few months, it's been that's nominal wages, and so that's barely been keeping up with inflation for a lot of folks.
And tomorrow, Tuesday, the government releases a report on April personal income consumer spending. Perhaps the most closely watched component of this report is the core inflation gauge.
Yeah, and we've hit the 2% mark just once since 2012. And since then, inflation has kind of eased off a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see if it firms up again or if it falls down a little bit and what the major drivers are. I mean, import prices haven't been doing a ton. Energy prices have been fairly stable. So we don't know. And that'll feed through. I mean, also the other interesting thing that we should see in the report is consumer spending. Consumer spending numbers weren't that good for the first 3 months of the year. It's one reason GDP was fairly soft in the first quarter. But if you look at what's happening with jobs, what's happening broadly with the economy, most folks expect that to pick up a little bit and consumers to open their wallets a little bit more, spend a little bit of money, especially if you take job creation alongside what consumers say, which is that they think the economy is great. Consumer confidence readings have been really, really high in recent months, and we will get a reading on that on Tuesday as well. So there's been a bit of a divide. Republicans think the economy is halcyon days, and Democrats tend to think it's we're heading for a recession. But the broad consensus is that things are looking pretty good right now.
Jeff, on Thursday, the Institute for Supply Management reports on manufacturing for the month of May. What are purchasing managers expected to say?
If you look at activity from the manufacturing sector over the last few years, there was a real lull in 2015 and in much of 2016, where the sector just got really stagnant. Things picked up quite a bit in January, February, and output picked up further in March and April. So we expect to see further expansion. I wouldn't be surprised by more hiring, but everything seems to have plateaued a little bit. Growth isn't getting faster. It's just kind of going along at the same rough pace. And one reason for some of the fluctuations recently has been the auto sector. We'll also get auto sales figures from the major manufacturers on Thursday. The numbers expected to look pretty good, an annual pace of around 17 million for May. But that no one really expects that to hold up. It seems like auto sales also have kind of plateaued and might be heading down a little bit. A very elevated number, but it's hard to see further growth out of from any of those numbers.
I know everybody is pretty much saying the glory days are gone as far as the auto sales boom is concerned.
Yeah, and you know, 16, 17 million is still really respectable, but it's not growing. I mean, the industry was growing by leaps and bounds for a couple of years there as the economy healed, people had a little bit more money, and credit became much more widely available.
I'm speaking with Jeff Sparshot of the Wall Street Journal, and you're listening to What's News.
Technology shifts, policy changes, New regulations. When it comes to investing, things move quickly, so you need a partner you can trust. At Merrill Lynch, that's been our goal since day one. It's why we explain our services and fees, measure progress around your life and goals, and offer access to resources whenever and however you want. At Merrill Lynch, we're bullish on the future. Yours. Visit ml.com and learn more about Merrill Lynch, an affiliate of Bank of America. Merrill Lynch makes available products and services offered by Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner & Smith Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member SIPC.
Thanks for listening, everyone. So, Jeff, we've touched on some highlights as far as economic reports are concerned for this holiday shortened week, but we should mention that various Fed governors will weigh in mostly on Thursday with their thoughts about the economy and interest rates.
Yeah, we'll get two governors. We'll get Lael Brainard and Jerome Powell on Tuesday and Thursday, and then we'll get two voters on Wednesday and Friday. We'll get Robert Kaplan and Patrick Harker. And the key with Fed speakers is, you know, this is their last chance before their June 13th, 14th meeting to really kind of set expectations for what they're going to do. Are they going to raise rates again? Are they going to raise the Fed's overnight short-term rate by a quarter percentage point again? This is a chance for them to really signal to the market. So we'll listen carefully. I mean, someone like Brainard is generally fairly dovish. How strongly does she come out on the case for raising rates? Does anyone change their wording? Does anyone change their outlook? Does anyone soften or strengthen expectations? We end up parsing these speeches for a change of a word here or there. I think the markets will pay a lot of attention to each of these folks. And the Fed's mandate, obviously, is twofold. It's one, full employment. Some people argue that we're just about there with 4.4% unemployment. And their other goal is stable prices, which they characterize as 2% inflation rate. And we've hit that once since 2012, and that was in February, I believe, of this year. It's gone down since then.
Well, I get the impression that, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the Fed pretty much a foregone conclusion to raise rates in June since they didn't do so in May. And, you know, it's something that's been talked about.
Yeah, it's the June meeting. It just the market seems to think it makes sense. They've penciled in a total of 3 rate increases for this year. June makes perfect sense, and then they can have some time to see how the economy reacts before deciding to go again or not go again. They always say that they're data dependent, so it'll give them a little bit more time to see how the data unfolds. They will have very current readings on inflation, on job creation, on all the major markers of the economy before they meet. So they should have a fairly clear picture of what the economy is doing. And again, I think when expectations are that they're going to raise rates and they signal that very clearly, the markets seem to have been handled everything so far in stride.
Jeff Sparshot of The Wall Street Journal, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Charlie.
And thanks for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the News Desk in New York.
It's like having a crystal ball inside your earbuds. The Future of Everything podcast from The Wall Street Journal. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.